Welcome to the Running in the Center of the Universe podcast. I'm Ashlyn Dave, your host. We've got a great show lined up, so let's get started. And this is Ashlyn Dave, and this is the Running in the Center of the Universe podcast, episode 145. It is the week of Christmas 2011. I'd like to thank you for downloading the show. Thank you for coming along. Appreciate you continuing to listen to the podcast. With all the podcasts out there in reference to running and trail running and endurance running, I'm very appreciative that you've chosen this one to listen to as one of many, either during your workouts, your runs, or sitting at your desk at work, or whenever on the go. I really do appreciate you listening to the show. It means a lot. I get between 400 and 500 downloads a week, so you are one of those. And we have a great group of folks that listen to the show, and I get to hear from them often. If you would like to contact me, you can email me at ashlyndave@gmail.com, and it's always nice to hear from listeners. This week's episode is called The Eggnog Fog, and I'm going to talk about what it's like to run the following morning after a Christmas party, after you've indulged in some eggnog that had a little bit more adult beverage in it than what you were told. I'll talk a little bit about Dr. Smitty's Kiowa Marathon effort. I'll talk about a nice present I received in the mail from one of the listeners. Talk a little bit about my 100K coming up in March. I'll share a very short story about a dirty look that a lady gave me at a local production of A Christmas Carol that my daughter was in. I will talk a little bit about the Seashore Nature Trail 50K that I had some close friends run in here recently. 50-mile week intervals, and maybe a little bit about Tim Tebow. He seems to be in the media here lately, and I noticed a couple things about him when the Broncos were playing the Patriots the other day that I just wanted to comment on. And, gosh, I got a couple other topics here, so we got quite a bit to cover. I'm going to try to do that in about 40 minutes. First thing, Dr. Smitty's Kiowa Island Marathon was about 2 weeks ago, a little over 2 weeks ago, and he ran an incredible 3:41:22. And if you don't know where Kiowa Island is, it's near Charleston, South Carolina. And this marathon was a lot bigger than I thought it would be. I looked up the results. Looked like close to 2,300 ran the half marathon, and then you had another between 700 and 800 run the full. And that's generally the case in some of these events that have the half marathon and the full. You always have a lot more, at least from my experience, you have a lot more running the half marathon because it's such a – that event can attract a much wider group of participants. The finishing results for the full marathon were a little bit incomplete, so I wasn't really sure exactly how many people finished. But it looked like between 700 and 800, and that's still a pretty good size event. So, Greg, well done on that. And Greg actually came back and ran then an ultra 2 weeks later, and I'll get to those finishing times here in just a second. But I wanted to mention a very nice gift I received in the mail from Christina, one of the podcast listeners, and you can check out her blog at lazybonesrunning.blogspot.com. I've linked to that several times in the show. If you didn't catch that, go to ashlyndave.podbean.com and look back a few episodes, and you'll see the link to her blog. It's she's always got it updated, and it's usually really good. It's always good. But she sent me a completely unexpected, and those are always the best gifts, the ones that are completely unexpected. A device called a Night Eyes, and it's a blinking LED light that goes around your arm, or I guess you could put it around your ankle. Or whatnot, and it's very good, and it's visible from far away. And I think I'm going to modify it to wear it around my waist in the back to have a blinking light in the back. I tend to have things that go around my arm; they tend to slide around and don't always point the direction I want. But I think I can modify this device very easily so I can have a blinking light in the back. Because what has happened is I've had to start wearing reflective gear in my evening runs when I go out after work, and it's sun's up and all that. But by the time I get home, it's dark and or dusk, and that's usually the most dangerous time, you know, for drivers to hit runners that they can't see is that dusk, right? So as a result, I need to kind of overdo it a little bit with the reflective gear, and I've got a vest that I used last year. I got it from Zombie Runner. It's got blinking LED lights on the front, and the silver parts of it reflects pretty good. I had to replace the batteries on that, and then I wear a blaze yellow hat that reflects, and of course all the reflective stuff on my shoes that comes with the shoes and whatever shorts I've got on. It usually has a reflective bead down the side. But this thing will allow me to be seen from behind with a blinking light, and on some of the roads that I run on, mentioned in maybe last episode or two episodes ago, I've got one road called Yow Road that I like to run out when I'm able to, if I have a run longer than 5 miles, and I run into a beautiful sunset, and then on the way back, the sun is setting at my back, and that makes me very difficult to see, I think, for people who are coming up behind me. And of course, I'm running against traffic, but it's a country road, and you got some, you know, Billy Joe Bubba's in their large pickup trucks that don't like runners, and I want them to be able to see me from far away. So that'll work out really good. And you can never overdo your visibility when you're running on the road, in my opinion. I've seen it from both sides, as a driver and as a runner, and you can tell when people see you far away because they start getting over, and you can tell that they're getting over and giving you room. And then you can see, as a driver, all of a sudden people pop up and they're running, and you appreciate the fact they're out there running, against traffic, doing the right thing. But you got to be able to see them from more than 20 feet from your headlights when you get up on them, because that's just no time to react. You need to be able to see them. That's where the blinking lights and the headlamp really come in handy, because you see those much farther away than you do the reflective stuff, in my opinion. So, Christina, many thanks for that. And I do encourage listeners out there to go check out her blog at lazybonesrunning.blogspot.com. Very informative and current. She always keeps it current. March 10th is obviously the big race, biggest race of my life, coming up in 2012. That is the Race the Graveyard 100, and I'm doing the 100K option of that. When the race was first advertised, and I found it on Ultra Sign Up, the ultrasignup.com or ultrasignup.org, there was no 100K, and I was in the market for 100K at the time. I was looking around, and I had always, I love running in the outer, this race is down in the Outer Banks of North Carolina, and I really like going down there. It's 3 hours from Ashland. It's an easy drive, you know, easy return home, generally no traffic. I take an alternate route rather than going through the Hampton Roads tunnel, Merrimack Tunnel, which goes under the Chesapeake Bay. Down in the Tidewater area of Virginia, I go an alternate route, 460, through some small towns, and it's just an enjoyable drive. Actually, that adds about half hour to the ride. It's an enjoyable ride, stress-free. You know, what a way to drive to a vacation spot, not to mention, you know, it's a beautiful barrier island. So I saw this race, Race the Graveyard, advertised, and it only had a 100-miler, starts in the northern part of the Outer Banks and goes all the way to where the ferry takes you to Ocracoke Island. I mean, it goes the whole way. And I had emailed the race director, I can't recall his name at the moment, and asked him if he was going to be adding a 100K option, because a lot of 100-milers seem to have 100K. And eventually he did add that, and I, of course, promptly signed up for that, sponsored by Sandy. Thank you very much, Sandy. But the funny thing about it is right now there's only 6 people signed up for the 100K out of 65 that are signed up for the whole event. So, you know, and here it is a couple months away. Granted, more people can sign up between now and then, but people that do these, just from experience, I know that people that do ultra marathons tend to look pretty far into the future, you know, 6 months, a year, and plan their races and sign up when the race opens. So it should prove to be an interesting event. It starts at 4 p.m. It's an overnight race to coincide with the 100-miler, which starts much earlier that day. So there's not only is there the mileage challenge, but there's going to be the sleep deprivation challenge, and I'm embrace both. Looking forward to it because I really want to test myself, and of course this is going to do it. I'm going to tell this real quick story about the production at the Christmas Carol before I get into some of the other running related stuff, because I really want to talk about this monster week of 50 miles that I got. 50 miles is a monster week for me. My daughter was in a local production of A Christmas Carol over at Randolph-Macon College, which is a small liberal arts college here in Ashland. It's, I guess about 1,500 students. They built a new dorm. It's a private school. It's a nice school. We don't really live in a college town because you can't really tell when the kids are here or when they're not, because they don't have a huge impact on living in this town. You can always tell when the kids aren't here when you run through the campus and you don't see any cars over there. But it's a beautiful campus and good. It's a nice addition to the town. Anyway, the theater department there, which is very active, puts on a I think this year was the 21st year putting on the production of A Christmas Carol, and local people are in it as well as students, and they always need kids for some of the Cratchit family roles. My daughter played Sally Cratchit. Well, we went to three shows. She shared the role with another little girl, so she did three of the seven, and then the other four she played a different role, kind of a background role. And all right, so the third night we went, my daughter's fifth grade teacher went with her husband, and we sat next to them, and we were talking about Santa Claus and believing in Santa Claus and when you kind of figure it out and whatnot. And we were having our own conversation. We weren't talking very loud. And in my family, I still get a gift from Santa every year. And I know who it's from, but it says Santa on the box. And so I was just kind of sharing how, my parents always make sure I get a gift from Santa, just like when I was a kid. It's just it just keeps the tradition alive. And I was kind of just sharing that with this other couple. And this lady that was sitting in front of me just turned around and gave me the dirtiest look. And I had not even noticed her while we were having this discussion. And she had two kids sitting next to her who were engaged in a very lively conversation, looking at their phones and stuff. And the only thing I can think of is the reason she gave me a dirty look is because I was basically saying that, your parents are Santa Claus if you're fortunate enough to get gifts at Christmas. And anyway, she gave me this dirty look, and I didn't say anything because it would have been rude to top her rudeness, because you don't turn around and do that to people. But what I really wanted to say was, mind your own business, bitch, because, we're having a discussion right here. It has nothing to do with you, and your kids are clearly old enough that where they should know, what the real deal is, at least I think, because they looked older than my kid. And anyway, it was just a funny story, and I'm not going to keep going on to it, and I didn't mean to use the B word, but to me, that's what she was, because she was rude, and I don't like rudeness that much. So I might have to go back and edit that. All right, let's talk a little bit about the Seashore Nature Trail 50K. This was back on December 17th, and I did not go to this race. I had kind of wanted to, and I was on call for work, and then that switched. A guy wanted to switch with me, so we switched the weekends only. I'm currently on call for this week up to Christmas Eve for work, and so I wasn't able to go, and I wouldn't have been able to go anyway because I had an event that afternoon that I ended up going to with my daughter, and but anyway, I had several friends that went down there. Kelly, Tom, Rodney, John, King, Dr. Smitty was there. Another friend named Rob Manolo. I didn't get his finishing time for some reason. But there are a couple relatively elite ultra runners there. Francesca Conti and Russell Gill. I think they're married. They're the race directors for the Charlottesville Marathon, which I've done twice. And they run a company up there called the Charlottesville Running Company, and if I'm not mistaken, I think they were a part of the UROC, the Ultra Running Championships, which were up in the Shenandoah Valley up in Virginia here, I don't know, a month or so ago. But anyway, they do a great job with Charlottesville Marathon, and Russell finished in a 4:38:28, and Francesca was 4:34:59, if I got that correctly. So she beat her husband. And they were both featured in the movie Running Madness from some years back that was about Western states. So they're elite, I don't know if they're elite. They didn't win, but they did really well, and I noticed that they were in the finishing results. So that's cool that they went down there. But some other times, notable times, were Tom's was 4:53:49. He went down there saying he was going down to break 5 hours in the 50K, which was awesome, and that was good for seventh in his age group overall, which was Masters 40:49. Rodney, Submasters age group, 5:28:51, incredible. John King, 6:06:45. Kelly, a member of Team Incognito, who I'm not sure if she listens to the podcast anymore. I think she did for a while. I'm not sure if she does anymore. But incredible effort for her first ultra, 6:05:24. Awesome. Just totally awesome. And, of course, Dr. Smitty was 5:41:23, so he did very well also. And he's run that race each year, as is John King and Ashlyn Tom. The report, I haven't gotten anybody's race reports about any of the details, but apparently it was kind of cold and windy at the beginning and rainy, and then I guess that subsided. And just really proud of these folks that that keep going down there each year. My job has prevented me from going down there and being a part of it the last 2 years, but it sounds like it's me a little bit of a tradition. So it's something that I might want to aspire to do next year, because my on-call schedule is dropping that December week, because we got two new people added to our unit, which spaces it out, which means I'm only going to have three on-call weeks for next year. One of them going to be that week right before my 100K, which is probably a blessing, because I won't be doing too much running that week. And of course, sometimes you get sleep deprived with your on call, but that's just the way it goes. But I wouldn't want it the week after, or during a peak training week. So I might have to set my sights on the Seashore Nature Trail 50K for next year, and that's down in Chesapeake, Virginia, which is where Dr. Smitty lives. And so of course he'll do that. And if some of my other friends from the Ashland area continue to go down and the Richmond area continue to go down, then that's something I probably want to do. So well done, all you guys. And send in a race report. I haven't seen any posted yet on the Team Incognito webpage on Facebook, which is one, that little group page that we use. I'm in the middle of a monster week right now. This is according to the training schedule that I've been following. This is a 50-mile week. This is going to be the top, the most mileage in the week. The most mileage in the program that I'm running. I'm doing yesterday I did 9. This morning I did 5. I'll do 7 tomorrow, 24 on Saturday, and then 5 on Sunday, 24 on December 24th, and then 5 on Christmas Day at some point. And I got to back up to talk a little bit about the eggnog fog. Last week, I can't remember what my mileage was during the week, but on the weekend, it was a fallback week. It was 14 on Saturday, 5 on Sunday, and I had to switch that because I went to a Christmas party Friday night, and the eggnog kind of acts as a time bomb, so to speak, and it acted like one. And when I got home, I wasn't feeling too good, and I woke up, and there was no way I was going to be able to do 14. So I decided just to do the 5-miler, which was manageable in the eggnog fog. And I've always said that if you really want to clear your head of any cobwebs from the night before, going out and doing a 5-to-6-miler is extremely effective. The hardest part is putting on your running outfit. Once you got that on, you know you're going to get out there. So that's the hardest part. Once you get out on the road, it's just muscle memory. But so I did 14 on Sunday, and it just felt great. But this week is monster, and so I'll do 7 tomorrow, take off Friday, get up Christmas Eve, and what we have Christmas Eve is we have our annual tacky sweater run, tacky Christmas sweater run in Ashland. We meet over at 9 o'clock at Bart's Coffee Shop, the station cafe there, right on the railroad tracks. And, you take a group photo. I think last year we had close to 40 people for the group run. There's a 5K and then, of course, a 10K option, and then you just hang out afterwards if you want. And it's a lot of fun because it's just a lot of, runners that you wear the tackiest sweater. Some people wore Hawaiian shirts, which is not a tacky sweater, so please leave those at home. If you don't have a tacky sweater, don't don't wear anything tacky. Just show up for the run. But don't show up in a Hawaiian shirt that doesn't even look like Christmas. It just doesn't make any sense to me. It's a tacky Christmas sweater run, not a Hawaiian shirt run. And if you want to have a, if you like your Hawaiian shirt so much, then believe me, send out a mass email to all the runners you know in Ashland and surrounding areas and ask people to show up in their tacky Hawaiian shirt, and I guarantee you'll have at least 20 people show up. That's just the way it is around here. So what I'm, and that's at 9 o'clock on Saturday, Christmas Eve. So what I'm planning on doing is, and I'll just probably do the 5K for that. So I got to get out there somehow and try to do 21 before that, which means probably starting before 6 a.m. So I'm not sure how that's all going to play out yet. And that's if I'm able to do 6 miles an hour, which is tough to do when you're training for an ultra, because you don't go out there and do your long runs fast. You do them slow and practice your run walk and your fueling. So maybe I'll run, because it's just been my experience that it's very hard to add mileage after a group run when you've done mileage beforehand. It's so lonely when you do mileage. Say, you know, sometimes you need to run before you go do it a group run if you need extra miles. It's kind of like you drink before you go to a party or before you go out to a bar, so you don't have to keep buying beers at the bar because you've already had a couple beers on the way or at home. I know that's bad, but it's the worst thing is then to go run after the group run by yourself, because it's really lonely. Now, I know there will be some people that'll do the 10K, which means I would only have to do 18 before the 24, and now I'm just kind of splitting hairs. So we'll see how it works out. And then, of course, 5 on Christmas Day, which will be easy because there's always that time when you've done all the Christmas stuff, gone to church or whatever, and then you just kind of have some time to kill before you do your next Christmas thing, or if you're visiting with other people or people are coming over or you're going to see grandparents or whatever. So I could easily do 5 then, and that'll make 50 for the week, which according to the plan I'm following – is the that's the max, that's the biggest week, which surprises me. It just seems like it should be more. So Chris, I know Chris down in Atlanta, who is training for 100K in February. Hey man, what are you following? I know I might have to send you an email, so I'm gonna ask you to send me an email if you can. What is your highest mileage of your program? Because I kind of just want to compare. Mainly been doing the first mile is a full run, then I walk that 0.1, which takes about a minute and a half, and then I run 0.9 and walk a tenth. And for some reason, I've really liked that here lately. It's brought my average pace to about a 10:18, 10:22 mile overall, and I like that beeping reward that I've accomplished another mile. For some reason, that's just mentally it makes me mentally happy when I'm out there running. So I'm going to keep sticking with that for right now, and it really hasn't slowed my pace down overall at much at all. I mean, I like training at that. The 5-miler I did today, I just ran that straight, and I've said that before. When it's 5 or 6, I'll just run that straight. Anything over that, I'm usually working on the intervals that I'm planning to do on race day. However, I'm seriously considering for one of my 20-plus long runs coming up, doing 5 and 5 and just kind of studying that overall pace to see and extrapolate that out to see how that might work over the course of 40 miles. And if that's the case, then when I do that 50K on February 4th down in Charlotte, I might try that. I just don't know if I'll be able to break the 6-hour cutoff. I'd hate to have a DNF. But, it's a training run, so, who cares? But I kind of want to, if I can make 6 hours, driving all the way down there, I might as well try it. Okay, we talked about let's talk a little bit about Tim Tebow. I saw, and I'm going to call this Tim Tebow versus America. This guy is catching a bunch of crap because he is visibly religious, and it's just wrong. He should be left alone. He should be allowed to do whatever he wants, and it's all because he is in the public's limelight, and there are those that don't like that, don't want that kind of behavior brought into an NFL game. I say let him do whatever he wants if it makes him a good person. And during the game last weekend, it was the December 18th game when the Broncos were playing the Patriots. They ended up losing, although it started off really good. One of the Patriots players got hurt, and Tim Tebow kind of went over there and just tapped him on the helmet. And I thought that was pretty classy. Bit of behavior there. I really do. I mean, he just seems to care about people as opposed to these guys that, you know, shoot themselves in the leg, you know, because they got a concealed gun out at a bar somewhere, and they, you know, or the and I'm a Bills fan, so I'm gonna make fun of Stevie Johnson, the guy that goes in the end zone and during a celebration dance, you know, makes fun, acts like he's shooting himself in the leg. I mean, Tim Tebow is not gonna do stuff like that. I think I don't even know that much about him, and I can't even say where he went to college. I don't even know. I just remember I started hearing his name, and I just think he brings a little bit of class to the game. Why they have to keep taking the camera over to him when he takes a knee down and prays? Why is that? You know, why is the camera on him doing that? I don't know. It doesn't bother me, just like it doesn't bother me when they do close-ups of the cheerleaders. You know, that might offend other people. I don't really care. I'm watching the game, you know. I just think people ought to leave him alone. He's got talent. He's young. And it's a free country. He can do whatever he wants. And that's my soapbox on Tim Tebow versus America. All right. I'm going to hit a little bit about on another topic that kind of – All right, what's wrong with road running? Okay, I'm listening to a couple other podcasts, and usually in this podcast, I do not comment on other podcasts other than to just inform listeners about them. But I listened to one lately that's a new podcast, and I do like it. And it's kind of like, it's the Trail Runner Nation podcast. And there's a guy on there, I don't even know which one he is, but he constantly talks about how trail running is so much greater than road running. And I don't know why they are continuing to try to convince listeners of that. I don't like trail running more than road running. That you're not going to convince me of that. I prefer to run on the roads, and trail running is cool when there's a race for me to go to. And I'll do it. So, you know, I'm not being critical of these other podcast because I think it's cool that there's other podcasts out there to listen to, but it's a recurring theme that and even the people that they interview that are ultra trail runners, which I think is cool. I follow their efforts. I think it's great what they're doing. It's just I don't seek out the trail. I don't and one person was commenting on how hard it was to run on the trail, and for a road, you don't even have to pay attention. Well, come out and run in suburban Hanover County and try to duck the cars and jump across the ditch when cars come and try to run on some of these rural roads, and you definitely got to pay attention. And I don't know, I just had to comment on that because I just felt like speaking out, and this is my soapbox, my own podcast for that. But anyway, I continue to listen to those podcasts because I do enjoy them, and, you know, I can always agree or voice my disagreement and still enjoy the overall product. I've got a couple things coming up here in Ashland. The unofficial Frozen Toes 5K, which is 9 o'clock on Christmas Eve morning, which I already mentioned. Also, our good friend Trish has got she's organizing a 10-mile event on January 7th here in Ashland. You can email me at ashlanddave@gmail.com if you need more information about that or if you want to participate. I think she's asking for a $10 donation. And then, of course, the Frostbite 15K is coming up January 22nd, and my dad has told me, who's 70 years old, has told me that this he plans for this to be his last race. The race is in its 28th year. My dad's been doing it for as long as I can remember. It just seems like every year he's always done the Frostbite 15K. And so I'm considering doing that race with him since he's saying that might be his last one. And that's on January 22nd in the city of Richmond. And there's also, of course, the Willis River Trail Runs, 35K and 50K. I'm not sure when those are. And I was considering doing those. But it just depends what my mileage is that day. You know, sometimes when you get up to the high mileage on the weekend, it's just much easier to sign up for a race and have it supported than trying to do out and backs from your house or dropping stuff somewhere. You know, you burn up gas. Sometimes it's just easier to go do it, even if it's a trail race. I still do those, but you're just still not going to convince me personally that trails are better than the road because it's all a personal opinion. And if I prefer one over the other, then that's just my opinion. Okay, well, let's get into the email bag section of the show. Got just a couple emails this week, so let's talk about those. All right, heard from Tim over at UltraQuest Podcast, and he said that he started podcasting as a way to give back. There's several podcasts that he likes to enjoy listen to. One of them is mine, and so he said he appreciates the time and the effort that it takes to produce the show, and he figured he'd throw his hat in the mix so his running friends would have another podcast to listen to. And I've mentioned Tim before. He is his first interest is endurance horseback riding, which I'm very interested to learn more about that through listening to his podcast. But he wants to try to meet up in Charlotte in February, so and maybe we can get together for a brew the night before. He said he's about 40 minutes from where the 50K will be run. So, Tim, I'm definitely signed up. Definitely on. I'm not exactly sure when I'm going to get there. If I can get a half day off that day before, then obviously I'll get down there in the evening. But other than that, it'd be unfortunately late at night. And of course, after the race, I always drink a beer. So after any marathon or ultra marathon, that just seems to be the way to recarb. I'll stay in touch. And looks like you are going to be a race director in conjunction with an endurance race, possibly for the future. So keep me posted on if you're going to put together a race, because if you're down in North Carolina, that's really not that far, and certainly want to try to support, at least announce about races that listeners are involved in putting on. So many thanks for the email. And let's see, the next one is from Dr. Smitty, of course. Said he felt pretty. Oh, he did. He did give me some time, a little bit of a race report on the Kiowa Marathon. He said initially he was on pace for the 3:25 finish until mile 22nd when his back seized up. Legs, lungs, and heart were fine. Eight-hour drive down, had his back hurting. He said the bed in his room didn't really help. He walked almost all of mile 23, and then he decided to finish pretty easy because he had the 50K coming up in the next week. He said it was a well-run race. Temperatures were in the low 50s. Completely flat course. So if you're looking for a completely flat marathon, look at the Kiowa Island Marathon near Charleston. He said it was a little narrow in places since part of the route was on golf cart paths, just for small sections. But you could sit in a heated ballroom right up to the race start. The race was in its 34th year, so they pretty much know what they're doing. And he said that if he didn't have to drive 8 hours to the race from his home in Chesapeake, he probably would do it again. That's his 11th marathon finish. He's got three 50K finishes. And appreciate the email, Greg. Of course, always nice to hear from you, and appreciate some of those details from the race. I always like to listen to those, and I know sometimes that it's hard to get the motivation to sit down and write an email until you're in the right frame of mind. So I really appreciate you taking the time to do that. Heard from another Tim who's out of the Chattanooga area, and he's has a website at abuelorunz.blogspot.com, I think is what it is. It's ABUELO Runs. Search for that. You can find his blog. He is hosting what's called the Choo Choo Loco on April 28th in Chattanooga. He said it's a continuation of the Mojo Loco that was started last year, and he invited me down to join him for a leisurely 15-miler along the banks of the Tennessee River. And, Tim, thanks for the invitation. I'm going to consider that. I don't know about my spring plans after the 100K yet. You're very kind to include me. I really do appreciate that. I'm, of course, hoping to stay uninjured and probably would be looking for something to do in April. I don't even know how far Chattanooga is from here. Can't really remember, but appreciate the invitation. I just don't know. I just can't accept it at this point because I don't even know what I'm going to be doing after the 100K. But if you're looking for something to do down in Chattanooga, I'm sure he'll put that on his website. And that's April 28th. And what I'll ask him to do is send me reminder emails as the time gets closer so I can continue to promote that event. So thank you very much, Tim. I really do appreciate that email so much. And again, if you're listening to the podcast and you heard something that you want to comment on, feel free to email me at ashlanddave@gmail.com. And I do my very best to respond to each email in a timely fashion. Sometimes it takes a few days because I too have to be want to be in the right mindset when I reply back to somebody instead of just giving them a real, you know, quick response. So anyway, that's it for 2011. I will be back in 2012 with a new podcast. And this is Ashland Dave. I'm running in the center of the universe, Ashland, Virginia, wishing you a Merry Christmas, a happy holiday season, and peace on earth. And run to the, make sure you run to the finish and keep on running. And don't forget to hug your kids. Y'all have a good week.